The progress of the COVID-19 pandemic has been fairly stable in our region of late, but other parts of the world, Europe, for example, we're already seeing a new spike in cases with corresponding restrictions in some countries. And that was before we heard of the Omicron variant of COVID. Variants of the virus get Greek letter names, and Omicron is about in the middle of the alphabet. So there have been several variants that have not caused as much concern as Delta, which gave us the big spike late in the summer. Dr. Jim Shames is medical director at Jackson County Health and Human Services. He joins us once again to answer questions on COVID-19 and the response to it. Dr. Shames, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. I was reviewing my notes and realized that just a few days ago, it seems like we were first talking about Omicron, and now the name of this variant seems to be on everyone's lips. As you read up on it, how concerned are you?
I'm pretty concerned, and it's always difficult to be in a position where you just don't know as much as you really want to know. So that's where we land. We're kind of 6 days into knowing about this variant, and we've got a long list of things we need to learn, but we're only guessing for a lot of it.
Any idea, any things that pop out as you read up on it relative to Delta at the same stage?
Well, we know that there's a lot more mutation going on in this virus, sort of a collection of mutations that we have seen before and worried about before, plus a bunch of others all together in one virus. We don't know how they're going to interact with each other, but you know what is concerning is the large number of worrisome mutations which could affect all sorts of things. You know, the ability of the virus to transmit, the seriousness of the disease you get, the age of those that tend to be more seriously affected, whether or not therapeutics and the vaccine will work adequately. You know, those are the questions we need to answer as quickly as possible.
Which gets us back to the premise that we first talked about more than a year ago, the basic race between vaccines and variants. And if you can get the vaccines to everyone, you pretty much shut down the variants before they can get created. But we're not in that situation.
Right, that's true. And you know, the fact that South Africa has a, you know, relatively low vaccination rate, large population, and a lot of immunocompromised people who are HIV positive, you know, that's been a witch's brew of variation that we've seen come out of South Africa, you know, over the last year or so.
For the people who got vaccinations, any knowledge yet of whether they're adequately protected against this or any other variant? I mean, the protection against Delta we've established is pretty good, right?
Yeah. I think that the concept of a booster is really important here. Boosting kind of not only does it increase the antibodies that you can and have that you're producing, but also the sort of the broadness of the antibody protection. We suspect that people who are recently boosted will have, you know, significant protection against this variant. We don't know that for sure. And unfortunately, we do suspect that the vaccines will be less effective. But in terms of what tools we currently have, you know, the boosters and certainly getting vaccinated in the first place are still really important as we try and figure out whether we need to process and create a different vaccine in the near future.
I know when I went looking for a booster for myself, I think I ended up on drugstore number 3 on their reservation list. What is the county? You are doing some vaccination clinic again, aren't you? I mean, well, you're professionally anyway, but are you out at the expo again?
Yeah, the county does vaccines at a relatively small scale, you know, at the, you know, the HHS building at Holly Street. There continues to be vaccine at the fairgrounds at Expo. And, you know, you need to call and or look online and make sure you got the right times. That's continuing, and that takes care of a fair amount of volume. And then we still have, you know, others offering vaccine as well. So the opportunities are there. Unfortunately, the pharmacies are retracting a bit. And it, you know, so we don't have quite as much participation from some of our local partners, pharmacy partners, as we did, let's say, a month or so ago.
Has there been an impact from the fact that Bi-Mart closed its pharmacies and basically said, go to Walgreens?
I think that really was part of the ripple effect. That plus the fact that everybody's understaffed, and you know they're sort of letting some of the vaccination drop. Mm.
Jim Shames is Jackson County's medical director, Dr. Jim Shames, here to answer our questions about COVID, and you can join the conversation on the exchange, obviously, with your questions as well. I have a couple in hand here from email. You can call in at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I've been holding on to one that a person identifying only as Peace sent in 2 weeks ago, urging for somewhat greater sensitivity for people who are concerned about the vaccines. Peace writes, a perpetual problem with reactions from medications, treatments, or vaccines, or politics for that matter, is that everyone is an individual biological entity, so will not respond the same to any given situation. Add to this the subjective nature of the truth, and each individual will accept only their own reality. If there are enough similarities between elements to constitute a consensus, then we can say what these similarities are. Very important to remind everyone that a consensus in no way delegitimizes the outlying data points. Very important. People feel left out, and that is why they are complaining. If they felt heard, they may understand their individual story is not the typical one or is more common than they thought. Recognizing the individual should legitimize the consensus and not the other way around, e.g. viewing a scatter graph, all the points together, a pattern can usually be seen. If focusing on a single point, then the overall pattern will remain elusive. Thanks again, Peace. So what I'm hearing here, Dr. Shames, is we've had some people on who complained about their own very strong reactions to the vaccine, and I think what Peace is saying is that people feel like they're not being taken seriously.
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons to be learned by what we've gone through in the last couple of years. Trying really hard to, understand what people are saying, sort of listening to the meta message behind the words they say. I think it's difficult, but it's really important because we're not, if somebody's coming from a very personal, deeply held place around vaccination, and you're responding on a superficial level, you're not really addressing what they're trying to say. So I hear that. I agree with that. It's just hard to do as a fellow human being to always keep that in perspective.
Right. Yeah. I get the sense of just go get the vaccine, and then why some people would not particularly respond well to that. Yeah. We have, it's an email from Talon. I'll give you the name at the end. And this person writes, I bought a Binax brand COVID test kit. And while researching its accuracy, yes, after I paid for it, have become confused about the difference between antigens and antibodies. Can you explain the difference like you were explaining it to your terrier? Thank you. Dumb as a dog in talent, it's signed.
Okay. I don't have a terrier, but I'll imagine. So antigens are all the things that are foreign to our bodies. We have this really elegant system whereby we can recognize things that don't belong inside of us, and we make antibodies quickly to fight them off. So an antigen could be a viral particle. It could be anything that the self recognizes as non-self. So antibodies protect us against antigens.
Okay. So the antigens are the invaders, the antibodies are the repellers.
Right. Was there more to that question? I'm trying to remember.
No, just to explain that particular difference, the difference between antigens and antibodies, and I'm not sure if a terrier could get it, but I did, so we're doing pretty well here. let me invite listeners to share their own questions and comments at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. Any changes in behavior, Dr. Shames, that you recommend based on Omicron, which we should point out has not been confirmed to exist in the United States yet, but has been recorded in Canada.
Yeah. The change of behavior would be to remember how diligent you were a year and a half ago in terms of wearing your mask, washing your hands, being cautious about people who've been traveling or are not part of your bubble. I think we all need to continue with that. Unfortunately, I mean, who isn't burned out? But unfortunately, we're just not in a place where we can inadvertently expose ourselves to a possible virus from others. And it's, you know, if you've been on the fence about getting a booster shot or getting vaccinated entirely, this should be a wake-up call. I mean, we don't know. We don't know how quickly it's going to spread in this country. We don't know how serious the illness is, but getting boosted and protected now would be a really good idea. Delta spread throughout Oregon in, I don't know, a month and a half. It went from on the radar screen to being the almost the only variant out there. So Omicron could do the same, and I think we need to do our best to be prepared as soon as we can.
Yeah, with Jackson County as an example, the initial major burst that peaked right around the beginning of December, right around this time last year, it was sort of a slow roll upward, and with Delta, it was a spike.
Yeah.
I think the Gulf like a rocket if you look at the chart.
Yeah.
And it is available. We have we'll provide a link to that on social media today to show people what we're talking about. But Delta was you know, head and shoulders, and then another whole body above what had been recorded in that previous post-Thanksgiving spike of last year.
Right. And the fact that we went from acknowledging that there's a new strain of virus in South Africa to acknowledging that it's really spread all over the world, all over Asia, Canada, as you said, Europe. It looks as if it may spread very quickly and replace the Delta variant as the predominant variant. So if that's true, the quicker we can protect ourselves, the better.
Are you concerned about a post-Thanksgiving spike or post-Thanksgiving wave like last year?
I'm concerned that everybody's really tired of this and that it's harder for worries and information to sink in. You know, we're all human. We don't want to hear what we don't want to hear. I do think that people will be more casual, have been probably more casual about Thanksgiving, probably going to be more casual about Christmas. And unfortunately, it may be bad timing for that.
Well, yeah. In fact, the forecast, the COVID forecast put out by OHSU in Portland has been using the terms together for a while, fear and fatigue. And we've mentioned that a couple of times, a real issue with COVID at this point.
Yeah, it really is.
We have a drop-off comment from Jimmy in Eugene, who wants to sort of buttress what Peace wrote in about from the other side. Jimmy writes, the other side of the coin being people who get angry or whatever. The doctor ordered a booster in August, experienced next to no reaction from the first two injections, and was thrilled to finally have a reaction from the booster. Jimmy just feels safer now, he says.
Yeah, I don't know we've made a direct correlate between how you react to the shot and how much protection you get. You know, that may have been done. I just haven't read about it. You know, an example would be, you know, my wife was in bed after each one of the shots, and I felt nothing. So I'm hoping we're both protected, but I just don't know.
Is there something to be, at least, maybe not the protection, but at least your body responded, your immune system responded? Is there some bright point to pick up there about the fact that if you do get a reaction, it indicates something's working,
yeah,
at least that your immune system is working?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that that you could probably say that. I don't know that we can say that because you didn't experience side effects that you didn't produce an adequate response. So, it's like the people who were in the early trials. You know, some people got mild illness after the shots, and they were pretty sure that they got the real vaccine, and the others just didn't know.
Remind us again about the booster strength relative to the initial doses of Moderna and Pfizer, for example. Well, for all of them, for that matter, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson.
You mean the fact that the Pfizer vaccine is full dose, the Moderna vaccine is half dose?
Yes.
That sort of thing? Yeah. Right. The manufacturers sort of did different calculus on what it would take to get an adequate boost. And that was, you know, that you learn a lot as you go along, and it looked like you didn't need the full dose of Moderna by the time you got the initial two doses. And I think Moderna had more material in the vaccine to begin with, and it's complicated, you know, kind of how they did that math. What is clear is that this is how vaccines work, that it's not unusual at all to need a boost, and it's not unusual to get a tremendous boost from that mix and the series of vaccines. So for those that, you know, are seeing it as a evidence that the vaccines really weren't that good an idea, it's not true. It's really kind of what we expect from a vaccine, and that it often takes multiple vaccines to get sustained antibody production.
Now, how have you found people taking to the boosters for adults? I mean, since the last time we talked, it's been a couple of weeks now. I mean, this is when basically we were told that all adults are eligible for the booster. Has that triggered anything like a stampede or anything you would have hoped for there anyway?
Well, when you look at the vaccine data statewide and countywide, there has been a bit of a rise in vaccination, and it hasn't really tapered off. So we're at a plateau of vaccination on a daily basis, which is fairly encouraging. You know, it's not as high as when the vaccines first came out, but there's a steady trickle day by day of people showing up and you know, getting either their first shots or getting boosters.
And what have you noted about the interest in parents in getting their kids vaccinated where they are eligible?
Well, what I've read is that there are a lot of parents who are concerned, anywhere from, you know, half to two-thirds of parents are not eager to get their kids vaccinated. I would just say that almost a quarter of current COVID cases are now in children. It is definitely a pediatric disease, and that the concerns of the vaccine pale in comparison to what we know COVID can do in terms of cardiac effects. You know, there's a lot of kids that are immunocompromised, and they get really sick. Kids end up in the ICU. 700 children in the United States have already died from COVID, making it in the top 10, you know, killers of children in this country at this moment. It's a real thing. It's serious. The vaccine is very well tolerated by children, and I personally think it's very safe. So I have no hesitation on using it, and I think it's a really good idea, both for themselves and for the benefit of the public, for children to get vaccinated.
Final minute, final email from Gary. He writes, early sketchy reports from Africa indicate Omicron might be kinder and gentler than the previous iterations in terms of symptoms. Reportedly, there aren't many hospitalizations as a result of Omicron. If the new variant plays out as a mild COVID, could this be a bridge to a more tolerable virus, such as when the Spanish flu became the endemic H1N1?
Fascinating question. I don't think we know enough. I think maybe this time next week or the week after, we may really have a much better idea of whether that's a possibility or not. I would hope so, but I don't know.
All right, and we have you scheduled again for next week. I say we're not going to miss a week this time. Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County Health and Human Services, the medical director, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange to answer our COVID questions.
You bet.